is every recess. Imagine with the light and the minds and searching for the precious metals and minerals and precious jewels and natural resources in the earth, which of course are a great gift and provision for us, for men. In verse 9 it says, he overturns the mountains at the roots, he cuts channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling, what is hidden he brings forth to light. So again, the picture here that mankind going to such great lengths and efforts, digging and searching, such expense and machinery, etc., to search the crust of the earth and refine these certain resources and to use them for his for certain uses. That man is looking for treasure below. That's the point. But then the question is posed, what about treasure above? What about man searching for treasure which is above? And this is the next verse, or the next question. It starts in verse 12. Because there is a greater treasure than these treasures found in the crust of the earth, and that treasure is wisdom. It is wisdom from above. The Bible says that this wisdom, it's more than just a knowledge. It's not something that you find through an education by going to college. It's more than that. In fact, it's wonderful. Hello. It's wonderful that that this is a word that is not easy to define. You need the Holy Spirit this morning to be your teacher, to help you understand what wisdom is. It's a little bit like the word grace. It's more than just a one-line definition. But the Holy Spirit must be our teacher. So we must mix faith with what we're hearing this morning, and God will minister to us and teach us. But there is a treasure that is worth more than all the treasures on this earth, and God says it is wisdom, and man does well if he would find it. So verse 12 opens and it says, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? And this passage goes on to explore the surpassing value of wisdom, that it cannot be priced, that it cannot be measured, that man would be the richest he could possibly be if he finds and appropriates this wisdom that is not found on this earth, cannot be purchased with the riches of this earth, but is available to each one of us. And this wisdom is related to knowing God. In fact, the way that Proverbs speaks about wisdom, we could say that wisdom is a personification of the person of God, the Holy Spirit. That through wisdom, we know God, we have a relationship with Him. It means that in your life, you are aware that God is with you. That you live in the reality that God is God, that God has a call on your life, that God has a purpose for you, that you live in the light of that truth, that you are His redeemed child, that you are a Christian, and there is a God in heaven, and you live and you walk before Him. That is how wisdom can be understood, that you are in tune with the very purpose of your life. We were made for this. We were made to know God. Not just to know about God. I could go to a college and I could learn all kinds of subjects, and one of those subjects may even be theology. And I could learn and have knowledge about God and about the Bible. But that's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is a much more personal connection to God. It's not knowing about God, but it's knowing God. How different that is. It's night and day. For there may be many Christians, even in our own land and around the world, who have knowledge about God, but do they have wisdom from on high? It's not just an external relationship like you would have a relationship to a gym or a club or even a religion, but it's something much more personal, powerful. It is that God is in your life, not in an abstract way, not in a theoretical way. How sad it is that as a Christian, I could pray a prayer and I'm just saying words. I could sing a song and I'm just singing words. I could read a page and I'm just reading words. But there is something much deeper. There is something beyond that the Holy Spirit would draw me and teach me and bring me into a relationship with the living, loving God who is ever present. Wow. Amazing. Wisdom means that I have an illuminated life, that I have a perspective on life, that there is a capacity that develops in a believer in how he values people, how he loves people, how he treasures moments. His whole perspective and worldview is so radically different from someone who does not know God. It's possible that someone could be very rich, very intelligent, have a very high IQ, and yet they don't know how to love their wife properly. They don't know how to function with honor, with humility, with honesty, with integrity. There is something desperately missing, for man was not designed to function that way. It has been said that man can walk on the moon, but he has yet to learn to walk on the earth. The Christian can say, oh, to have wisdom in my life. It means that my life is full. It means that I have the mind of Christ, that I can think with God and I can apply that to my life. So man, in these opening verses, he plummets the oceans, he overturns mountains, he is seeking for all these treasures on earth. But verse 12 says, but where can wisdom be found? And let me read the following verses. Verse 13, man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in the precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. I think God is making a point. No mention shall even to be made of the coral or the quartz, for the price of wisdom is above all rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. And then the next verse, verse 20, echoes the question, from where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living. Listen. Oh, the surpassing value of wisdom. If God could strip back the veil and teach us something and speak something into our life, how vain it is that man is only seeking the wealth and the riches and the stability and etc. in this world. But there is something desperately missing, for we were made for more than this world, more than this earth. We are body, soul, and spirit, that we would know God, and that we would walk on the earth in his light and with his wisdom. So the question is, where then does wisdom come from? And it's in verse 28 that God answers. And he says this, and to man he said, God, and to man God said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord. God answers it. He says, listen, I've told you about wisdom, how precious it is, that you cannot find it on this earth. It is from above. It is through knowing me. And do you want this wisdom? And we would say, oh, yes. And he says, well, here it is. The fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. So what does the fear of the Lord mean? That's a good question. It's not to be scared in the way that we use fear, to have a phobia in that sense. A good way of explaining this fear would be to have awe, to have wonder. It's how you would express yourself if in a moment the glory of God could be revealed. It's that sense of awe and reverence and wonder that the heart is captured with this incredible reality. That to have that sense, that fear of the Lord, means that you are living before the reality of a living personal God in the moment. Listen to this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The man with knowledge may say, there is a God. But the man who lives in the fear of the Lord says, God is here. You see the difference? He is living in the awareness that God is present in his life. The fool may say one thing, but the wise man, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the wise man who lives in this reverence before God, he says quite another. His life is much more about church attendance or being a good Christian or whatever term we could use, but his desire and his blessed experience is that he walks with God. I was having a devotion with my girls, as we do in the morning before school, which is a miracle in itself. And we spoke about this subject. We spoke about the fear of God. And Alison and I, we had a deep theological conversation about it. I jest, but I'm also serious. It was awesome. And I said to her, the fear of God means that you are living in the awareness of God in your life. Not just when I go to church on a Sunday, but all through my days, all through my life. Emily and I, we had another deep theological, and we had a great exchange. And I said, imagine this. Imagine there is a room, and in that room is the presence of God. And imagine if you cross the threshold into this room, you come into the very presence of God. And there are no distractions there. You are just bathing in his presence and enjoying the truths that this God who is present loves you and laid down his life and came to redeem you and has grace for you. And you are in his presence. You're not thinking about that or that. You are enjoying the presence of God. And in fact, in the Old Testament, of course, in the tabernacle and the temple, there was a room that was referred to as the most holy place on the earth, a room where God in his grace would manifest his presence with the Shekinah glory in that room. And that Old Testament shadow or picture is a picture of the privilege that we have. For we do not need to go to Jerusalem or a temple or enter into a specific room to enjoy his presence. But we have learned to enter into his presence wherever we are. So when we come into church, we have learned and we are learning what that means. So to speak, we take off our shoes. We believe that God is here, that this is a divine appointment, that I believe that I will hear truth that will be deposited in the innermost part, that I will be changed, that I will be able to walk in the light of the truth that he imparts to me. I believe that I can meet the Almighty. I believe that when I sing a worship song with the saints, we are blessing and magnifying and glorifying God. What a privilege it is that we draw near to be in his presence. What a sad thing it would be as a Christian if I so easily would forfeit that. We understand what happens in life, but what a wonderful, healthy conviction it is that I draw near with the saints to hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God on a Sunday morning. For me and for many of us, it is not negotiable. For we have learned, this is how we learn the fear of the Lord. This is how we find wisdom. This is how we grow in our faith. It is not just church attendance, but I want to meet with God and his people. I say, oh Lord, I want wisdom from on high for my life. We can enter in any time. In fact, Psalm 100 says that, doesn't it? It says in verse 2, come before his presence with singing. Have you ever had that when you come into the service and maybe you come in late or whatever, or you're there already and the song service starts and you're just singing the words and then all of a sudden you engage. Oh, the Lamb of God. You connect with what you are saying by faith, and all of a sudden you go from singing a song to worshiping God. That's what it means to enter in. That's what it means to be not self-conscious or people-conscious, but God-conscious. It happens by faith that I enter into the fear of the Lord. I say, God is here. Like Jacob did in the desert when he said, oh, Bethel, this is the house of God. This is the very house of God and the gate of heaven. For he realized that God was there. In a desert place with a stone as his pillow, he recognized it was holy and he called that place Bethel, which means the house of the Lord. For what makes a church the house of the Lord is that God's presence is manifested there. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is where it starts, wisdom. It starts with the fear of the Lord. This is how we find it, through reverence. If that's true, we can ask the question, how do we develop fear? How do we find and develop this healthy sense of reverence in my heart each day? And Proverbs chapter 2 answers that for us, and I'll read it to you. My son. No, God speaking to all of us. My son, if, now notice that, if means it's a condition, right? If you receive my words, it's a condition. You may or you may not. You can, but also you can refuse to. You can negate that. But if you receive my words, and if you treasure up my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for insight and discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, like they do at the beginning of Job 28. If you receive and store up and seek in this way, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. If, and notice that, these verbs are conditions. If you, let's read them, receive, incline, apply your heart, cry out, lift your voice, seek and search, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And you will also find knowledge, which is to depart from evil, it says. So here is the prescription given this morning. You come to the Word. You come by faith. And through the Word, as you receive and seek and apply your heart to it, you understand the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, you see? I incline my ear, and I find reverence in that moment, and then God speaks, and I find wisdom. It's amazing, isn't it? There's the prescription like a doctor would give. And here are here's the medicine. Maybe I don't take it. I pass by. It's like Christians. I'm amazed at how many Christians don't read the Bible. Why is that? It's familiarity, it's spiritual laziness, it's demonic distraction, whatever it might be. You have an enemy who would love to bring you to a place where you are not reading your Bible. For through reading the Bible and having a personal devotion, you find reverence and you find wisdom. And this is how you walk with God on the earth. But Christians pass by their Bible every day and they do not open it. And if that in my heart, oh Lord, I repent. If that's me, I repent. And I start afresh, not tomorrow, but today, that I would hunger after your word, that I would open your word, that I would trust with an expectation that by your Spirit, the word of God would be quick and living and powerful and search and convert my soul. It would convert the soul and rejoice the heart and bring wisdom to the simple in Psalm 19. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. So, Proverbs 3 tells us, happy is the man, blessed is the man who finds wisdom. We could say respectfully, you know, that that's an understatement. You know, like, how can you, that's incredible. How can you put that into words, what it means to be blessed in this way as a Christian? That you have discovered something, that your Christian life is not just nominal. Your Christian life is essential. You're not a part-time Christian, right? But we live day by day by faith. It goes on to say this: blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her, wisdom, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Now listen, that's quite a statement, isn't it? All the things that you may desire. Now, we could make a list. And that would be quite something, wouldn't it? All the things that man could desire. And he could list them down. And God says, it says, all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. For when you have wisdom, all of the other elements and aspects of your life, which we understand are a gift from God also. Oh, how richer and how much fuller they are. My family, my workplace, my house, my car, whatever it may be. How much richer it is as we live and walk with God. It's no wonder that in Psalm 119, verse 161, the psalmist says, I rejoice at your word. As one who finds great treasure. As one who has found great spoil. Oh, this book, these words. Wow. I found a great treasure. Why? For he understands that this is the inspired word of God. That God searches and speaks and draws and converts and delivers. And he does that through rhemas and the anointing and conviction. That search the heart and find us, put the finger right on the issue, and we say, well, here I am, Lord. And there is the light and the deliverance and the edification and the encouragement and the conversion or whatever it might be. So I rejoice as one who has found great spoil, because by the word of God, I find what it means to fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says that wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, therefore. And when we used to teach in the school, I used to tease our principal. I used to say, hey, wisdom is the principal thing. He had it. Wisdom is the principal thing. It means the primary, the most important thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Therefore, have a mission and a vision in your personal life that with your getting, you are getting wisdom. You are dragging yourself to a place where God can give you wisdom, where he can develop you in your heart and in your mind and in your life. And that's why we're here this morning, by the way. Amen. So the Deuteronomy chapter 17, this passage and one more, and then we're done. This passage was the prescription for a king. My family, we really take this to heart. No, we're kings, but you know, that's my family name. But it's for a king. Imagine, the king is anointed. He takes the throne. He is the king over the whole kingdom. And this is what it says about him. I love these verses. It's amazing. It says, it shall be when the king sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he will write himself a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests. and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Listen to this, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. That the king, with all his authority and his status and his position, this was the prescription for him. You write a copy, and you have it with you all day, and you read it every day. Why? That you may learn to fear God. That you would be a king under a king. That you would express your authority as one who is under authority. That God would correct your heart. That God, let's read on, it says it for us. To keep all the words of this law and these statutes and to do them, that his heart might not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he might not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or the left hand, to the end that he may prolong his days on the earth. That's the effect of the word of God, that he might not turn aside, that he might not exalt himself above his brethren, that he would be kept in a place of humility and privilege, recognizing the grace of God on his life every day. And the kings that honored that, they did well. And the kings that did not, they faltered. And there was much, well, read the book of Kings and Chronicles. And the last passage is in Proverbs chapter 8. And here Proverbs is pictured crying out to men. It says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. And I love that, because where the paths meet, that pictures a place of decision. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance to the doors, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and O you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips, and all the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction more than silver, and knowledge more than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Oh, listen, how blessed we are. We are like those who have found great spoil. There is a secret that God has shared with us. And someone might say, well, I don't know where to start. Where do I start? Well, just open your Bible, read the Bible, have devotion. Someone might say, well, I'm not sure, where do I read? Well, you can read in the Psalms, you can read in the Gospels, follow the pulpit, go home and read these passages, but be in the Bible and God will lead you, God will enrich you. Oh, let us treasure this book, for we have been so blessed from on high that it is open in our life, that there is a living, loving God who speaks to us, who addresses us, who equips us on the way, that his word is a light to my feet, a light to my path, and a lamp unto my feet as I take my journey. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Romans 3:18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 1 says that there are those who refuse his call, who despise his counsel, and listen to this, and do not choose the fear of the Lord. But we choose the fear of the Lord. We choose it. We recognize in some part, in some measure, we recognize the value of his word, the importance of living in reverence before God each day, and the desperate need we have for wisdom. Oh, that's so good. 1 Peter 1:17 says, pass your time of your sojourning here in fear. Ephesians 5:21, be submitted one to another in the fear of the Lord. And in Acts 9:31, the church was edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. we choose fear. We want to find it and develop it and allow God to lead us, guide us, work in our hearts and lives. Amen? So let's pray together. Oh, Father, we thank you for this time, this precious meeting together in your presence, before your word, with your people. What a privilege that is. Thank you for each one here, each guest, each precious member of this local church family. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, ministering to us. Perhaps there's one here this morning that you are not sure of your salvation, that you have questions about what it means to know God, to be a Christian, for Jesus to be your Savior. Oh, take this moment by faith and say, Jesus, I come to you by faith. I ask you, the Savior, to save me, the sinner, that you would save me by your grace through faith and lead me in the way everlasting, I pray. And for each one of us, these words and thoughts apply to our hearts and lives, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to have a worship song and then...